Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
It's time for our weekly check-in with our own gold medal-winning political junkie, the man who has not vandalized a single bathroom this year, Ken Rudin, who joins me from Aspen. Hi, Ken.
I wish I had a response to that, but I don't. Good morning.
There's a phenomenon in the world of media covering presidential races when a candidate who has been faltering, like let's say a Donald Trump, the minute he has three or four good days, there's that comeback story. We're always into a comeback story. Ken, why do we do that every 4 years?
Well, we do it because obviously we want a race and we want a competitive race and we don't want a blowout. But if we're true journalists, then we know how Donald Trump operates. And so remember in the 1960s, for the longest time, we talked about the new Nixon because the old Nixon was hardline and mean and angry, and the new Nixon was on, you know, laughing, saying "sock it to me," and he was smiling and everything. But there's never been a new Trump. Every time everybody thinks, well, he's going to moderate his views, change his views, try to reach out to swing voters, that's not Donald Trump, and we saw that last week when he picked Steve Bannon as his campaign chair, somebody who's a very, very conservative, hates the Republican establishment, and basically whose motto is, let Trump be Trump.
There is, in general, polls that show Hillary Clinton in the lead. The state-by-state polls, 538 reports today, still show her with a lead, and the electoral math is in her favor. I'm just curious how much vacillating is still left to be done here 80-plus days before the election. People who there's a certain segment of the population who's absolutely going to vote for Donald Trump, absolutely going to vote for Hillary Clinton, absolutely for Gary Johnson, and absolutely for Jill Stein. Who's left?
You and I? No, really. I think there's 78 days to go, and for the most part, you're absolutely right. The Trump supporters are solid. The Clinton supporters are solid. Once upon a time, there was a talk about swing voters, independent voters. Right now, that's no longer the case. Right now, well, that's interesting because with Donald Trump, I think Donald Trump is, I mean, the fact that he's campaigning in Mississippi, my goodness, if a Republican candidate with less than 80 days to go before the election needs to campaign in Mississippi, then you know there's a lot of problems with his core base of supporters. But Hillary Clinton, I think, has a little tougher battle because every time she thinks that the way to win the election is to move to the center, try to appeal to disaffected Republicans and independents, there are the Bernie Sanders supporters who say, look, you know, you promised that, you know, we're going to stay on a progressive course and not to move to the middle, not to want to win over Republicans. So I think it's more of a tougher battle for Hillary Clinton. But in some ways, it's an easier battle for Hillary Clinton because, as you notice with the battleground state polls, she leads in almost every one. Matter of fact, I think she's leading in every battleground state poll.
Ken Rudin with me, the political junkie, our weekly conversation here on NPR News. If you have a question for Ken Rudin, here 1-800-242-2828, online at nprnews.org/live. Let's talk about, you mentioned Donald Trump completely overhauling the leadership of his campaign last week. Who's running the show? Give us that reminder. And what is the new strategy? What are they doing differently? What do they say they're going to do differently?
Well, what they say and what they're doing are two different things. Obviously, what they say, I mean, Donald Trump is now talking about winning over African-Americans and Latinos. He met the other day, I think yesterday, with Latino supporters, and a lot of people saying, well, maybe he's going to soften his position on immigration. Well, if he softens his positions, then he becomes like everybody else who's flip-flopping or reading the polls. But as far as Trump's organization, campaign organization, he picked a guy named Steve Bannon, who's the executive editor at Breitbart News. Breitbart News is a thumb in the eye of the Republican establishment, very conservative. They equate Planned Parenthood to the Holocaust. There was one famous quote where when women who have been harassed online, Breitbart's response to that was, well, don't go online. And this guy, Steve Bannon, was a big supporter of Paul Ryan's primary opponent the other day in Wisconsin. So obviously this guy there's no reaching out to the party establishment. There's no reaching out to the Republicans who feel that Donald Trump needs to moderate or somehow cool his temperament if he has a chance in November, and that has not changed.
Some of the polls you mentioned, Trump's outreach to African-American voters, some have him as low as 2%, some have him lower than that. And there's even a few polls that show him fourth behind Hillary Clinton, Gary Johnson, and Jill Stein, the Libertarian and Green Party candidates. And then last week, he did make this pitch. I'm going to play a little bit of audio of what he said, and then your reaction, Ken.
What do you have to lose? You're living in poverty. Your schools are no good. You have no jobs. 58% of your youth is unemployed. What the hell do you have to lose?
Ken, what was the reaction to that that outreach?
Well, I love that because he's talking about African-Americans, and yet he's talking to a white audience. So it's kind of interesting. Well, why don't you talk to an African-American audience and try to talk about what plans you have to do some changes? But it's either going to try to arouse black voters from predictably voting Democratic, or more likely, it could very well be just, you know, either condescending or infuriating. I remember Ross Perot in 1992 talking about you people, and when he was at the NAACP convention. There's a certain you people approach to Donald Trump with African Americans, and I think, Tom, you're absolutely right. The numbers I saw, 2%, 3%, maybe that may be it for Donald Trump and the campaign. But he spent so much time of the campaign attacking the less fortunate, the Muslims, the Mexicans, the women, the handicapped, that why would African Americans change with less than 80 days to go before the election?
The FBI on the Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side of the race, the FBI released notes from their interview with Hillary Clinton over her private email server. Did we learn anything significant from that? And what is still to come on the email story? I think there are some more emails to go through. Is that right?
Well, as far as what's to come, that's the big question that's getting a lot of Democrats nervous. We saw right on the day one of the Democratic convention that Hackett to the DNC released all the files about how the leading Democrats felt about Bernie Sanders and his chances at his campaign and him as a candidate. So it's very possible that there's something that some people are saving something about Hillary Clinton that they're going to use in an October surprise, as we like to call it. But you know something, all the questions, you and I have gone over all the things wrong with the Donald Trump campaign, but it remains a sizable segment of the population that still doesn't trust Hillary Clinton, that still doesn't see her as honest. And of course, the fact is that that the Clinton Foundation will still take foreign and corporate donations while she's a Democratic candidate for president. It will change only if she's elected president. And Donald Trump and others are saying, wait, this is screaming for a conflict of interest. As she's running for president, foreign governments could be donating and donating to the Clinton Foundation. For what? We don't know. So between Donald Trump's hardline views on so many issues and Hillary Clinton's failure to have a press conference since last December and questions about email and the Clinton Foundation, there are a lot of voters out there saying, please give me another choice.
Just to repeat what you said, the Clinton Foundation said last week it would stop taking foreign donations if Hillary Clinton becomes president.
If she wins, right.
If she wins. And as you noted, there are plenty of people who say, well, wait, that should stop now. Is that legal?
Well, sure. Look, it's legal for Donald Trump not to release his tax returns. It's legal to keep accepting funds because the Clinton Foundation ostensibly has nothing to do with the Hillary Clinton for campaign, for president campaign.
I see.
Is it smart politics? That's another question completely.
I want to take a call here from Lane in Ramsey, who's, I think, getting to some of the points you were making just a moment ago. Ken, Lane, go ahead. You're on NPR News.
Hi. This is my first time voting in a large election, and I was a Bernie Sanders supporter. I was reluctant at first, but I really enjoyed some of the things he said and, you know, hopped on the huge bandwagon, you know, with all the other college students. And now that he's out of the running, I personally can't really tolerate Hillary Clinton, but the other options in third party I don't find very reliable as candidates for presidency. I think that their odds are slightly low. And I don't know how much Donald Trump says that I can trust. So where do you think that myself and other people who are supporting Bernie Sanders can turn to in this time? I feel kind of shafted in the way that we lost our big candidate that we were going for, and then none of the other candidates really appealed to us.
Before I throw that question to Ken, Lane, do you have an answer? Do you know who you're going to vote for?
I don't actually think Donald Trump is that bad. It's just that I don't know how much I can trust what he says, and some of his behavior has been really unacceptable. If I had to say right now, it would be between Gary Johnson and Donald Trump. But I would need to, you know, see more.
Thanks so much, Lane. Ken?
I'm fascinated by this call, and I know that Lane is not alone, because there are many Bernie Sanders supporters who back the Vermont senator for the same reason that Lane talked about, that Hillary Clinton has, I mean, sometimes she has to come kicking and screaming towards certain progressive views, like she voted for the war in Iraq until she changed her mind. She opposed same-sex marriage until she changed her mind. She was for the trade deals until she changed her mind. I'm not saying her positions are wrong, or I'm not even accusing her of flip-flopping, but the reason people like Donald Trump and the reason people like Bernie Sanders is that they stick to their guns, or at least, you know, heretofore stick to their guns. And there are, I mean, it seems like the Democratic Party is more united behind Hillary Clinton than the Republican Party is behind Donald Trump. Look at all the members of Congress and the candidates running for election in November on the Republican side who are moving away and distancing themselves from Trump. But as Lane points out, there are still Democrats who just felt that giving their heart and soul to Bernie Sanders, if all they have left is Trump versus Clinton, it's a tough choice for many of them.
Another third-party candidate, Jill Stein of the Green Party, was in Minnesota last week, Ken, and she was in our studios and gave an interview here to NPR News, and she was talking about why Bernie Sanders supporters, maybe like Lane, should flock to her and not to Hillary Clinton, as Sanders has asked his supporters to do. What level of success is she having with that tactic at this point?
Well, look, a support in the polls for a third-party candidate in August is always higher than it is at the end of October and Election Day. I mean, right now, Gary Johnson, I see some polls, he has 15%. The Libertarian candidate, Jill Stein of the Green Party, has 6%. Look, no Libertarian in history has gotten more than 1%. But sometimes you could have a third-party candidate who could not necessarily win, but they can affect the vote in a certain state. And, of course, no greater example is Ralph Nader in Florida in 2000. He only got 1.7% of the vote in Florida, but those 97,000 votes kept Al Gore, you know, for argument's sake, kept Al Gore from beating Bush in the state and cost him the White House. So while you're thinking, well, you know, Hillary or Bernie or Hillary or Donald are not the candidates you want, both supporters of both candidates will say the other side will bring bad things for the Supreme Court, bad things for the way the government and the country is moving, and a third party candidate would only just hurt. If you have a lesser of two evils, a third party candidate could hurt that argument.
Final question for you, Ken. There are the debates that the Commission on Presidential Debates has scheduled, and I know there's some back and forth on whether Donald Trump will accept those and show up, and there's some NFL games in competition. But put those aside for a moment. Is there now possibly a fourth debate or forum or whatever they're calling it happening, where they're going to talk about national security?
I have not heard that.
Okay.
I mean, look, the schedule was made last year before anybody knew of an NFL schedule. True, it's about Democrats and Republicans because third-party candidates need 15% of the polls to be included, and that's unlikely to happen. But the last schedule I saw, the first debate is September 26th with two more presidentials and one VP to follow, and we'll see if that shakes up the race. Sometimes, as we saw in 1980, between Reagan and Carter, the debates can make a huge difference in deciding who wins in November.
Although they only had one debate, I believe. Is that right?
They did, and that's Jimmy Carter's fault. He said, I'm not going to do it. And finally, he agreed to do it at the end, a week to go in 1980, and it was too late for him to come back.
Let me take one last call. Mary in St. Paul, if you can be quick, I'd love to hear your comment here for Ken Rudin.
Hi, I'll try to be brief. Mr. Rudin, I generally agree and like much of what you say. You're certainly a beacon of light. On the other hand, I do think that your annoyance with Hillary does show in terms of the fact that she has not had the press conference and a number of other things. But if we think about it, the president, too, made some of those same so-called, quote, flip-flops. I also, as an African American, absolutely resent the fact that the press seems to take us for granted. The media often takes African Americans for granted. When Trump said what he said, I thought it was ridiculous, because for him to say that to whites was purely for them and purely to appear as though he's appealing to African Americans sincerely. For the young man who couldn't make up his mind and said he can't stomach Hillary, I do wish that he'd do some investigating about what this woman's like, if he could compare her to Trump. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Ken, final thoughts?
I love that call. I love that call. I mean, I remember Nixon in 72 with a campaign button, "Don't be taken for granted," and it was aimed at black voters, while at the same time he was preaching, you know, he was doing little winks to Southern races. So, you know, the African-American community, because it's overwhelmingly Democratic, both sides assume where it's going to go, and voters become stereotypes. But the thought of a Bernie Sanders, and this is what Mary says, and I like this the most, the thought of a Bernie Sanders supporter leaning towards Donald Trump because he doesn't trust Hillary Clinton. Think of all the things that Donald Trump has said. Think of all the things that Bernie Sanders represents. And then think about the possibility of voting against Hillary Clinton. It's a remarkable indecision that he has to make.
Ken Rudin, the political junkie with NPR News every week here on NPR News. As always, Ken, thanks so much for your thought. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and great phone calls today.